You are looking live now, Monterey Bay, from the live camera at the Portola Hotel, right near the Custom House Plaza, where people on two boats had a very close call this weekend. They collided with whales just minutes apart. The collision's quite a scare for people on those boats, causing injuries and throwing people overboard. As I say, both of those incidents very close to each other, one at Breakwater Cove, the other at Hopkins Point near the Marine Station. Len Ramirez on why this could have happened.
Whale watching boats get up close to these gentle giants of the sea. But for two boats on Monterey Bay last weekend, it was more than a close call.
The first one was extremely scary.
Marge Brigadier of Pacific Grove took this photo of the bloody aftermath when a small powerboat struck a whale Sunday afternoon. She said she later spoke to the driver.
And he said they were going along pretty fast. The woman in question was sitting on the front of the boat with her back against the windshield. And they hit something that he said could only have been a whale, and they were more or less airborne, and in the process her head snapped back, and that's what broke the windshield.
The victim was taken to a Salinas trauma center, but then just a short time later, a second call came in to the Coast Guard that a breaching whale caused a small fishing boat to capsize, sending seven people into the water. Petty Officer Eric Seastrand was on the rescue boat and says all were saved.
When we were talking to the people that we took off that vessel, they said that they had been hit by a whale.
A boat colliding with a whale here in Monterey Bay is rare. Two boats colliding with two whales on the same day is unheard of, and it may have to do with a feeding frenzy happening right now out there. Swarms of anchovies have reportedly made their way into the waters just off the coast, causing an unusually high amount of whale activity.
We've been seeing a lot more whales and people trying to get closer to those whales. So our recommendation is just to make sure you're traveling at a safe speed. Always have a lookout for other vessels and marine life.
Fortunately, both incidents did not result in the loss of human life, but Marge, who is a volunteer for the Marine Sanctuary, says she worries about the whales.
Those two whales could have been injured, and no one will ever know it. There's this sense that we can get as close as we want, whenever we want, and it's okay, and it's not.
In Monterey, Len Ramirez, KPIX 5.
New at 6, we're learning that 50% of grapes in Lake County could be left to rot on the vine. That's because they're tainted with smoke from this summer's wildfires. KPIX 5's Emily Turner spoke to one vineyard owner with grapes that cannot be sold.
There are acres of beautiful, ripe grapes that will all be left to rot.
It's just discouraging.
Sandy Robertson's vineyard is in Lake County, wedged right in between the areas burned by the river and ranch fires. They burned for about a month, taking her barn and the profits of her entire harvest.
The grapes absorbed the smoke, and it's called smoke taint. And now the wineries are rejecting all the grapes because they have a smoke taste.
So the Fresno winery she's contracted with won't be buying her fruit. And she won't be able to recoup but about 30% from her insurance. She'll have to eat the rest because no one will drink the wine.
It's frustrating in many parts. Yeah, you know, I mean, we had lots of plans. I was going to pay the ranch off and retire, and I could live on the grapes.
I talked to the Lake County Winery Association, and while they don't have solid, hard numbers at this point, they estimate that roughly half of this year's harvest is going to end up like this crop on a vineyard floor because no one wants to buy it. Smoke taint is real, but some grape growers like Clay Shannon say it's gone too far.
They are talking smoke taint, and they think it's a smoke issue, and I think it's an inventory and sales issue.
Some top winemakers in Napa and Sonoma counties have declined to purchase 1,200 tons of his crop that he says is fine. Instead, he says they're using the county's crisis as a way to offset a financial one of their own.
I think it's really unfair, and I think it's a great excuse to get out a lot of fruit. And they're using these fires for a scapegoat.
In Lake County, Emily Turner, KPIX 5.
New at 5, a scary ride for some BART passengers over the weekend. A man aboard a train was spotted carrying a machete. KPIX 5's Juliet Goodrich is live in Oakland with details on the frightening encounter. Juliet?
Definitely a scary ride home. A lot of passengers coming from San Francisco into Oakland. And this guy had a bag of knives. When he pulled one out, a passenger tells me that's when she called police.
He said, no, no, you can't sit here. And he held up the knife in his hands again.
Cindy Soto's BART ride home from the opera Friday night.
See, he's here. We're right here. We're in the two seats right next to him.
Turned frightening because of a passenger seated across from her.
He became irritated when someone asked if they could sit next to him. He got irate and he yelled, no. He grabbed his hand. He pulled out a knife. He raised up the knife. And that's the first time we saw and really noticed exactly what he had.
That's when she grabbed her phone and discreetly took this photo.
They're like butcher knives.
But she says it was his behavior that was even more disturbing.
He pulled up the knife. He held it up to his throat at least two or three times. And he also threatened a little girl when she tried to come through the doors and sit next to him. That's when everybody just started to panic.
Cindy says that's when she looked around the train and saw a phone number posted for BART police.
I was really nervous to call. I was afraid he was going to hear me since I was so close to him.
It was at the West Oakland BART station when the train came to a halt and BART police were on the platform.
You know, they opened the doors and they came on BART with their guns and told everybody to get out. And he just was, I think he was shocked.
This comes at a time when passengers are already on heightened alert with three high-profile slashings in the last 6 months. The most recent, 18-year-old Nia Wilson, killed on a BART platform by a convicted felon. Along with stepped-up patrols, BART is also looking into high-tech weapon scanners. But until that happens, it takes vigilant BART riders like Cindy to be an added layer of protection.
I think it took a good couple of hours just for the adrenaline to go down and for us to just feel like I could sleep.
Now, we chose to blur that man's face because he was not formally charged. In fact, he was taken to the hospital for a mental evaluation. As for what to do on a BART train, should you see something like that happen, definitely call BART police. But there's also a BART Watch app you can download. BART tells me you can text dispatch directly and they can send police out immediately. In Oakland, Juliet Goodrich, KPIX 5.
Well, Tesla's latest production numbers are out, and in spite of recent legal trouble for the CEO, they beat expectations. In the third quarter, Tesla predicted 55,000 Model 3s would come off production lines, and in fact, they beat that by 840 cars. KPIX 5's Kit Doe at the Fremont plant looking into whether all those cars are actually getting to their owners. Kit?
Yeah, Tesla coming off a rough week last week with the SEC settlement, but today some good news for the company and for the customers. And I should know, full disclosure, we got our Model 3 10 days ago. The journey to get that car, though, definitely some bumps in the road.
I need to get to Tesla now.
My son Lucas sums up the roller coaster of emotions we felt in waiting for our Model 3. The excitement of putting down the $1,000 deposit last summer. Followed by a year of waiting, miscommunications, and confusion in the home stretch, followed by, yes, more excitement. More on that moment in a moment. To get a sense of what making 5,000 cars a week looks like, we went down to the queuing area on Cato Road next to the factory in Fremont. Here you get a sense of urgency as workers prep a steady stream of cars to load up onto the carriers. In the 20 minutes we were there, we saw four fully loaded trucks pull out.
It's a learning process. Going from 100, 200 to 5,000 is a big jump. Yes, they are learning from their mistakes, and they probably should be managing that better, the logistics and delivery of the vehicles.
Fred Barraz is a mechanical engineering professor at San Jose State with a background in assembly lines and production. In the past few weeks, there have been instances of customers complaining on social media about shipment delays. There are 42 Teslas sitting at the Union Pacific Railroad in SLC. My car is one of these. I've been told I was getting delivery the 8th, then the 15th, then the 20th, then the 22nd. Elon Musk himself responded, "Sorry, we've gone from production hell to delivery logistics hell. Should be solved shortly." Professor Barraz says in the ramp-up of the Model 3, Tesla let cars off the assembly line with minor defects to be fixed later, instead of right there on the assembly line, which added to the delays.
Is that a good way of running a car factory?
At the moment, probably this is the best because they wanted to make the volume, the numbers. So as long as you make the manufactured vehicle, you made one car. whether or not there was a defect or not, that's another issue that you have to go back and fix it.
Which brings us back to our Model 3. We were promised delivery on September 13th, then that was postponed a week. Then Tesla said they were going to drop it off, but then changed their minds and told us we had to come pick it up. When we got it, there was a scratch on the hood, which took about 45 minutes for mechanics to buff out. It all begs the question, is the Model 3 worth the wait and the hassle? Look at Lucas and take a wild guess.
And Tesla's quarterly statement addressed the delivery of the cars. Quote, we made many improvements to these processes throughout the quarter and plan to make further improvements in Q4. As part of this effort, we plan to continue to expand direct deliveries to customers at their home or office. By the way, Tesla did try to make it up to us with all the headaches that we had for the delivery by giving us a $100 store credit to buy some accessories. And we're live at Tesla headquarters in Fremont. Kit Doe, KPIX 5.